The title of today's message is The Fight That Formed You. Some of you are incredibly generous financially, even if it's not a lot of money, if it's $10, $5, $100. You're generous when it comes to giving tips. And part of the reason why you're generous is because you know what it feels like to stress about finances. You know what it feels like. And so when you have an opportunity to help somebody else, you jump on it. You've become incredibly generous, even though some of you still have financial trouble. You are still generous because you know what it feels like. You see, that fight formed you into a generous person. You weren't generous before you knew what it was like to fight for it. That fight formed you. Some of you that have experienced a tremendous amount of stress and fighting and battles within your own family, you've become a source of encouragement to people because you can look into someone's eyes and tell that they're fighting something. You can just tell because you know what it's like. You can recognize it in someone else. Therefore, you've become one of the most encouraging people in your circle. You weren't always that encouraging. It was the fight that you fought that made you an encouraging person. Some of you have overcome tremendous battles. Some of you, it's addiction. Some of you, it's just mental and emotional. You overcame it. And for that reason, you're a source of strength to people. But you weren't always that way. It was the fight that formed you. And I want to say to you, some of you are like, hey, I'm still fighting those battles. Even though you are still fighting those battles, it's that constant fight is forming you, and it's already formed you into a person where somebody can come up to you and God is able to flow through you and touch people. You are useful to God. You're useful. He's able to use you because you know what it's like to fight. It's the fight that formed you. I want to talk about David this morning. He fought three battles, three key battles that were one-on-one. He led an army many times, but he had three key battles where it was just him and the opponent. The first one was with the lion, the second one was with a bear, and the third one was with a giant. And so I want to talk about how each of those battles were distinctly different. He had to fight them different, and the attack was different. And so when he stood before Saul, and Saul was like, we got Goliath out there, we got a giant out there, he was able to say, look, I'm ready for that battle. And this is how he said it. It's in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 34. Here, I'll read it to you. Your servant, he's talking to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine. Like, can you imagine where a lion comes and takes a sheep? If I'm a shepherd and a lion comes in to take one of my sheep, I'm going to take my sheep and I'm getting out of here. You can have that one. I'm out of here. He backs up and says, what? Hold on a second. You don't come in my... And he goes after the lion. And a face-off. He did the same thing with a bear. He had two major fights. Now, let me talk about the lion just for a moment. When a lion attacks, it's unlike the bear. It's unlike the giant. It springs on you. You didn't see it coming. It springs, and when it springs out of nowhere, the lion always goes for the neck. You guys have seen it. You've seen it on TV when he chases. It doesn't matter how big his prey is or how small. He always goes for the neck. This is unlike any other battle. Lions go for the neck. They come out of nowhere. They sit and they hide. Now, when lions come into our life, they do the same thing. They wait. They stalk. They wait for an opportune time. And all of a sudden, they spring in. I'll give you an example. In the first service, I was like, I think I was in Brazil. I can't remember. And I should have asked Pastor Thiago because he was with me. But we were off doing some ministry, and I was sitting in the lobby of the hotel, and we looked across the lobby, and this lady got on the phone, and she started screaming. She started saying, "You're lying, you're lying, you're lying, you're lying." And she just fell to the ground. "You're lying, you're lying." And she's bawling, crying. And you couldn't help but to look. She was screaming. And she ended up being taken by a friend, and they went out the door. And there were some other friends that were still there. And so the curiosity was overwhelming. And so I went over there to ask. I said, "Is everything okay?" And she said, "Yes, she just found out that her dad died." 30 seconds before she got that phone call, 1 second before she got that phone call, everything was fine. And then just like that, her entire world change. It just pounced in. Have you ever got some news where everything changed your whole life just like that? It was a lion. It just pounced in. Nod at me if you know exactly what I'm talking about. It just, you didn't see it coming, and when it did, it changed everything. Now, it's fascinating that when a lion comes in, it always goes for the neck. Because if it can grab the neck, then it can steal the voice. The prey can't call out to its pack. It's lost its voice. When the lion comes into your life and it comes out of nowhere, it's coming for your voice. What you'll notice when someone is attacked by a lion, it comes out of nowhere and they stop worshiping right away. They're not in their car singing worship songs. They're not walking around the house singing worship songs. If they do come to the sanctuary, they're spectators, not participators, because a lion has taken their voice. Some of you are looking at me and saying, "Hey, you have described that really, really well. I didn't read it in a book. I'm anointed to preach it, but I got to live it just like everybody else. And when these lions come pouncing in, what do you think I do? Head down, eyes down, and I just go, I'm in this place where I'm not walking around my house singing. I'm walking around my house mad. And I'm upset that I'm having to share air with my family." Have you ever been there? Where it's like you're in the same room with me, which is not okay, and we're breathing the same air, which is not okay. Go breathe air over there. My wife is one of the most intuitive people I know. And I love her except for when she dials me in. And I'm just trying to mind my own business. And she's like, are you okay? And then I gotta lie. I'm fine. Are you sure you're okay? I'm fine. And then my fines get louder and louder. I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm fine. You're not fine, but I'm not going to talk to you anymore. Boom. This is trying to steal praise. And sometimes when this happens, you have to worship when you don't feel like it. And that determines whether or not you're going to defeat this lion or you're not. And if the enemy can take your voice, he will keep you in that season. You will stay in that season. Have you ever met somebody, they go through a tough time, and then you see them 3 months later, they're still in that tough time. Then you see them 6 months later, they're still in that tough time. You see them a year later, and you think to yourself, you don't want to judge them, but it's like, you've been here for a long time. Are you with me? Say yes. Let me hear you. Are you with me? Say yes. It's like, how are you still here? But if you could crawl into their life, the lion took their voice. They're not sitting in their car anymore going, I love you, 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 I love you. They're not playing worship music anymore. Why does the enemy want your voice? Your voice is carrying your victory. When you say, Jesus, I know you're before me. I'm scared right now, but you're before me. I'm confused, but I know that you're not confused. You're taking care of me. I don't know what's going on, but I'm going to worship you. If I never get out of this season, then I'll stay in this season and worship you. This is a non-negotiable. I'm worshiping you. I'd rather feel your presence in the valley than not feel it at all up on the mountaintop. I'm going to worship you. This is why I was born. I want to talk about the bear now. Now, the bear doesn't fight like the lion. It doesn't just spring into your life. It's not like 30 seconds before you were doing fine and then boom, you're not doing fine. No. That's not how the bear fights. The bear weighs about 800 to 1,000 pounds. It's heavy. It can't sneak up on you. They're loud. They're loud. But when it gets on you, it uses its weight like its paw can wipe your head off. Its weight. And so all it needs to do is lean on you to exhaust you. Now, this bear fight right here is really about 5 minutes. We cut it down to about 40 seconds. One of the bears obviously wins, but from here, you can't pick which one. Well, now you can, because he's getting exhausted. It was even. And then all of a sudden, the weight of the other bear just started pushing down on him. If you watch the first 2 minutes, you can't figure out who's going to win. But one bear got on top of the other bear and just started leaning on him. And after a while, he just couldn't take the pressure anymore. See, there's pressure. It's not a surprise. It's something you face every day. It's pressure. It's anxiety. It's just there. It's worry. It's just there. It's just heavy. If you're a single parent, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's there. It's there. And trying to keep that up. Some of you have people in your life. You know their righteousness means nothing to them. It means nothing. What they say with their mouth is totally opposite from their actions. It means nothing. And they lean. They're in your life. They carry weight. There we go. That's what I was looking for. They carry weight in your life. And now you look at yourself and you're much weaker than you were before you started hanging out with them. Their weight. And now your convictions are just as cold as their convictions. They've weighed on you. I want to say that regardless of whether it springs on you or it weighs on you, the victory is exactly the same. The victory is exactly the same. It's head up. I've noticed when I get depressed, my chin goes down. When I'm believing God, my chin goes up. You can tell your level of faith by looking at where your chin is. I've noticed when I get depressed, chin goes down. As soon as I look down, I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, 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 whoa. It's this weight. See, it doesn't matter all the pressure that's around you. If you can experience His presence in this 3-foot radius, then what's going on around you can't affect you. You're in this little box. It's like, I don't know what you guys are experiencing, but what I'm experiencing is awesome. When you feel that weight on you, please never forget this. Just because you feel weak doesn't mean that you're not getting stronger. Just because you feel weak, in most cases, you are going to feel weak. But when you look back, you realize that you're stronger. Some of you right now, you feel so weak. But let me remind you, you are stronger right now than you have ever been in your life. You've never been this strong. You've never had this much courage. If you would be carrying what you're carrying now 10 years ago, you would be a casualty. You wouldn't be in church. You'd be down for the count. But you're so strong, you're in church lifting your chin in spite of the fact that you're carrying a bear because you're saying to yourself, I may not be able to carry this by myself, but I know a God that rescued me from a surprise attack. And if He can rescue me from a surprise attack, then He can rescue me from this pressure. Do you believe in that? Come on, put your hands together. So these surprise attacks that try to take your worship away, and incidentally, let me say this. When you feel like He's taking your worship away, don't make it complicated. I love you, I love you. Sometimes I need you, I need you, I need you, I need you, I need you. And the time where you should feel most alarmed is when you can't open your mouth to say that. That's when you should feel most concerned. When you can't get your mouth open to say, I love you, I love you, I love you, that's when you should feel most concerned. Where you say, God knows my heart and He knows what I'm thinking. No, 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 no. That doesn't work. If you read Scripture, it's the confession of your mouth. In Romans 10:9, it says, when you confess that the Lord is God and believe that He raised Him from the dead, it's your tongue. And if you can't say it, you have to ask yourself the question, why? 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 I mean, the Lord's calling you on your cell phone. Number 3. There's a button on the side of your phone that if you tap it, it'll stop ringing. It's crazy. Just kidding. I have a friend of mine. He'll let that thing blow up. It's 72 rings. And I'm like, we're just going to pretend like that's not happening? The giant. Very, very, very different. The giant is the fight, the battle that is between you and your destiny. You see, the lion tries to take your voice, the bear tries to pressure you down. But Goliath, the giant, is what's standing between you and your destiny. What do I mean by that? You see, when David was a boy, Samuel comes in and he anoints him and says, you're going to be the next king of Israel. So he's this boy out in a field worshiping God by himself. And when King Saul got depressed and down, somebody in the palace says, hey, there's this kid out there that when he worships, peace inhabits around him. And so he would come in, worship God, the king would feel better, and he'd go back home. And then he'd come in, he'd do what God called him to do, and then he'd go back home. He'd come in and he'd do what he's anointed to do, and then he'd go back home. He'd come in and do what God called him to do, and then he'd go back home. So sometimes he was walking in his assignment, and then other times he didn't feel like he was. Sometimes he was. It is so frustrating when that's happening. Do you know what I'm saying? Like you're talking to somebody, and you're like, oh my goodness, God's using me right now. This feels awesome. And then you go 3 weeks, and that doesn't happen again. And you just feel kind of lost. You're kind of in, kind of out, kind of in. That's what David was doing. And then all of a sudden, he's facing Goliath. Here's a giant standing before him. Nobody else wants to fight Goliath. He's standing before him. King Saul is looking to see if anybody will fight this guy. And he comes up, and now here's the thing. The lion is after your voice. The bear is pressuring you to break you, but Goliath is after your identity, where you see yourself the way he wants you to see yourself. Not the way God does. The way he does. And you know that Goliath has your ear when you feel like a complete sinner. That's when he's got your ear. When you feel like you shouldn't even be worshiping because you've spent so much time ignoring him. So you feel like you shouldn't even be worshiping. So that's Goliath changing your identity. You see, when you start to say, I love you, Jesus, it doesn't matter what you were doing 10 seconds before that. Jesus is like, oh, this is my favorite sound. 1 second before that, it's like, this is my favorite sound. And so Goliath is saying, no, you can't go talk to the Lord, worship the Lord, look how you've been living. And that's how he's trying to tell you. But the Lord looks at you and just says, just give me one word. And you can feel his presence. I'm telling you, if you can just get that one, Jesus, I love you, it's like the whole, like everything changes. Goliath is in your ear when you feel yourself getting depressed. Goliath is in your ear when you start hearing never lies. If you continue to come to church here, you're going to hear me say that a lot. Never lies. You're never going to get better. Your marriage is never going to get better. Your finances are never going to get better. You're never going to be forgiven. You'll never be holy. You'll never be righteous. You'll never be healthy. These are never lies. This is when Goliath is talking to you. Goliath is trying to change your identity and make you feel small and inexperienced. Look what Goliath said to David. He said this to David, am I a dog that you would come at me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Because David didn't show up with a sword, maybe if he could afford one, maybe he would have had one. But sometimes you just don't have the money or the skills or the talent or the charisma that that guy has. Some people are born on third base, right? Well, the rest of us were born on home and we struggled to get to first base. And all we know how to do is say Jesus because we don't have anything else. And then we realize that if that's all we can do, we're the greatest threat to hell. They're not afraid of your money. They care less about it. In fact, they'll try to make you fall in love with it. What they're afraid of is if you keep your voice. And Saul looks at him and goes, all you have is a stone and a sling and a stick. You're going to, like, that's what dogs do. You deal with dogs with a stick. And so he's trying to change the identity of David. You think you're somebody. You're nothing. And David comes back. Let me show you how he responds. He says, all those gathered here will know that it is not by a sword or spear that the Lord saves. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. In other words, I don't care what you're saying about me. I don't care what you're saying about my God. I don't care what you're saying about my situation. You could whisper in my ear all you want to, but I've already fought a lion that just sprung into my life and I didn't see it coming, and I'm alive today. I've already carried the pressure that would have broke somebody else, but yet I'm here right now. And if he took care of me with the lion, he took care of me with the bear, then he will take care of me with Goliath. Now, look what happens here. All of Judah was afraid. They were afraid. They were hiding from Goliath. Now, when David fought the bear, only he experienced the reward. When he fought the lion, he fought the bear, only he experienced the reward. But you get stronger during private battles. The battles when you're surrounded with the never lies, you get stronger. And so now, David, who was going in the palace, out of the palace, in the palace, out of the palace, he knocks down Goliath, and King Saul says, you're moving into the palace. You're moving in. This is where you're going to be. And David says, oh my goodness, I was anointed for this, and now I get to do it every single day. You see, when you hang on to your identity, you don't just step in and step out and step in. Oh, I feel alive when I do this. Oh, no, I don't feel alive. And you can be in the middle of chaos, but yet still feel alive because of what God's doing. And so David never left the palace. David became king. He stayed in the palace. But God did not promote David on a platform. He promoted him while he was fighting a battle. And sometimes it's the battle that promotes you. It's never the platform. It's never when people are gathered around going, you are so awesome. You are amazing. You rock. That's not when God promotes you. God promotes you when you're in the back fighting, just trying to stay alive, just trying to hang on. You know what it feels like just to hang on? Or somebody comes up to me and says, you're an inspiration. You're like, no, I'm standing on one leg right now. That's when you're fighting the battle. I want to say this for those of you that are fighting a battle right now. You are stronger than what you think you are. You may feel weak, but you're stronger than what you think you are. And I want to tell you, keep on worshiping, keep on praising, because your voice is carrying the victory. Do you receive that? Come on. Come on. Put your hands together. Why don't you stand up on your feet if you would? I'd like for all the prayer partners to come down. Sometimes you just need somebody to pray for you. I don't know how to say that any other way. Sometimes you just need somebody to pray for you. Sometimes you just need somebody to pray for your children because you've been praying for them. Sometimes you just need someone else to pray for them. Need some more prayer partners. Paige, you're a prayer partner now. Come on down here. Larissa, you're a prayer partner down. Come on down here. You're a prayer partner now. Make sure you talk to me after the service because I got to tell Sarah. She's my boss. She runs the administrative side of the service. Sometimes you just need somebody to pray for you. And if that's you today, in a minute, I want you to come down and let someone pray for you. The Bible says this, that the rapture of the church, where all the Christians leave the church, leave the earth all at the same time, we leave, and those who are not believers, they don't walk with the Lord. They stay. And it happens in a twinkling of an eye, a blink. And we should all be living our life that, hey, if the next blink, am I ready? If you're not ready for that next blink, you're the most important person in the room. And I wanted to invite you to come down and take the hand of a prayer partner and let them pray with you. And if there's any other reason where you want somebody to pray for you, I don't want you to hesitate to come out of your seat. If all the prayer partners are taken, just come to the bottom of the aisle. We've got ushers. They'll point you to the first available prayer partner. There's no official dismissal. You can leave whenever you get ready. But let's sing this song one time through before anyone goes. May the Lord bless you. May He keep you. May His face shine down upon you and be gracious to you. May His countenance be lifted up on you and bring you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.